Today's lesson is Perek Shishi Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the sixth chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Ha'ocha kezayis min hadam b'mezid chayiv kares, b'shogeg mevi chatas kavua. One who eats one olive's worth of blood intentionally is liable for the penalty of kares, which means excision, which meant the person would die prematurely. If it was done unintentionally, he must bring a fixed sin offering, which means that it would have to be the same sin offering, no matter what one's financial means were, as opposed to other offenses, which gives one the right to bring different types of sin offerings, depending on their financial means. V'davar mefurash b'torah she'enu chayev ela al kol dam behema chayev ha'of bilvad, bein tmeim, bein tohorim, she'namar v'chol dam lo tochlu, v'chol mashvaseichem la'of v'la behema. It is clearly stated in the Torah that a person is liable only for the blood of animal, beast, or bird alone, whether they are clean or unclean, kosher or unkosher species, as it is stated in the book of Leviticus, and you shall not eat no manner of blood, whether it be fowl or animal, in any of your dwellings. The Rambam continues, V'chaya b'chal behema, that a beast is included in the word behema, which means animal usually. But nevertheless, even though the Torah uses the word behema, it includes a beast as well. Shenemar, zosa behema shartochelu, shor v'gomer, ayol utzvi v'gomer. As it says in the book of Deuteronomy, these are the animals which you may eat, the ox, etc., the hart, and the gazelle. Here, even though the Torah begins with the statement, these are the animals which you may eat, it nevertheless enumerates domestic animals together with wild beasts. From this we derive that a wild beast is included in the term behema, animal. Aval dam dogim v'chagavim v'shkatzim v'remasim v'dam ha'adam ein chayav malov mishum dam. However, the blood of fish, locusts, insects, and creeping things, and for human blood, a person is not subject to the prohibition of blood, and would not be liable for this prohibition if one would eat blood of these foregoing items. L'fichach dam dogim v'chagavim tahorim mutal la'achlov. Therefore, the blood of fish and locusts that are of a kosher species, one is permitted to consume. Even if he gathers it in a vessel and drinks it, it is still permissible. However, the blood of locusts and fish that are not kosher, of unkosher species, they are forbidden. The blood of these species are forbidden to consume because it is actually a product of their bodies. It's just like the milk of an unclean animal. V'dam shkatzim kibsarim, kamosha bi'arnu. While the blood of insects is like their flesh, as we have explained. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Dam ha'adam osam adivrei sofrim imperash, umakan olav makas mardus. The blood of a human being is only rabbinically forbidden if it has separated itself from the person, and one would be subject to flogging that is based on rabbinic law for disobedience. Avadam hashinayim bolo ve'ena nimna. However, the blood that's found in the teeth, between the teeth, one may swallow, and one does not have to refrain from doing so without hesitation. Hareisha nashach b'pasa matza ol hadam gorer es hadam v'achakach ochel shehari perash. If one bites into a piece of bread and finds that there is blood on the piece of bread, all he has to do is scrape off the blood, and then he can eat the rest of the bread. Since in this case the blood has already emerged, one does not eat the blood. One just cuts it off and eats the rest. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Ein chayavin kares ela al dam hayotze b'shashchita unechira o atazas harosh kozman sheyeshbo admumis v'al hadam hakanas b'tochalev v'al dam hakozek kozman shumekaleich v'yotze. One is not liable for the penalty of excision of kares unless it is blood which issues as a result of either shechita, stabbing, decapitation, as long as the blood retains its redness. For blood also which accumulates in the heart, and for the blood of bloodletting, as long as it flows freely. Aval hadam hashosis b'tchilas hakaza kodem sheyaskel lekaleach. V'dam hashosis b'sof hakaza kesheyaskel hadam lifsog ein chayav malav v'arihu kedam hayivarin shedam hakiluach hu adam shahnefesh yotzebo. However, the blood which spurts forth at the beginning of bloodletting, before the blood commences to flow freely, and for the blood which spurts forth at the end of the operation, when the flow is about to come to an end, for that one would not be liable, and therefore there would not be the penalty of kares. This blood is regarded as the blood of the organs, for life departs only with evenly flowing blood. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Dam hatamtis v'dam hoyvarim kigon dam hatchol v'dam hakloyes v'dam beitz v'dam hamiskanes leiv b'shashchita v'dam hanimtze b'kaved ein chayavim olav karis. One is not liable to the penalty of karis, of excision, for the last blood that oozes forth, or for blood of the organ, such as the spleen, the kidneys, the testicles, or blood which invades the heart during shchita, or blood in the liver. Avol ha'ochel mimena kezayis lokesh, shenamer v'chol dam lo tochlu. However, if one eats a kezayis, an olive's worth of this blood, he would be subject to flogging, because the Torah says, and all blood, or any blood, you shall not eat. Ubechiyev karis u'omer ki nefesh ha'basar b'dam hi, einachayev karis ela al hadam sh'anefesh yotzebo. However, with regard to the penalty of karis, the Torah, in the book of Leviticus, says, for the soul of the flesh is in the blood, which means that the Torah is connecting the liability of karis for that blood with which the departure of life takes place. So the penalty of karis is only if that blood is where the life, departure of life takes place. However, the actual violation, which incurs the penalty of malchus, of flogging, that would be found even in any blood, even the blood that is within the organs. Halacha hey, paragraph 5. Hashlil hanimtza b'mei ha-behema ha-redomo kidam ha-yilod. The blood of a fetus found in the belly of an animal is regarded as similar to the blood of the young which has already been born. Lefich ha-dam hanimtza karnas b'toch liba chayavan olav karis. Avushar damei harahu kidam ha-yivarim. Therefore, one is liable to karis only for the blood found accumulated in its heart, whereas the remainder of the blood is considered as blood of the organs and would not be punishable by karis. Halacha vav, paragraph 6. Halev bein litzali, bein likdera, koro umotzi as damo v'achakach molcho. The heart, if one wants to eat the heart, whether it's for roasting or for boiling, one must first tear open the heart and remove its blood before salting it. If a person already had boiled the heart without tearing it open, he may open it after cooking, and it is then permitted. And if the person did not tear it open and he still ate it, he would not be liable for the penalty of excision, of karis. In this case, commentators say, he would not even be subject to the penalty of malchus, of flogging, since there is no kezayis. He did not eat an olive's worth. The Rambam qualifies that by saying, "Bamed dvarim amurim b'leiv ha'ov she'ein bo kezayis dam." When does the foregoing apply if it's the heart of a fowl which does not contain an olive's worth of blood? Aval im ha'yel leiv behema chayiv karis. Sharei yesh bo kezayis midam shebetoch ha'leiv shechayavn olav karis. However, if it would be the heart of an animal, he would be liable for the penalty of karis, of excision, because it does have an olive's worth of blood within the heart, for which one is subject to the penalty of karis. Halacha zayin, paragraph 7. Hakaved im chatochav hishlicha l'toch hachomitz o l'toch mayim roschin ad shetislabein haruzumateres levashel osa acharkein. The liver, if one cuts it open and throws it into vinegar or boiling water so that it becomes bleached, it is then permitted to be cooked. However, the Rambam says, u'kvar nohagu kol Yisroel lehavhava al ha'ur v'acharkach mivashlin osa bein shebishla levada bein shebishla im basar acher. However, it has already become a widespread custom within the Jewish community, of all Jewish communities, to singe the liver over the fire before cooking it, whether it is to be cooked by itself or whether it is to be cooked with other meat. There is a similar widespread custom in Israel not to cook or roast the brain before singeing it over the fire. Halacha ches, paragraph 8. Hakavet shebishla v'lo hivava al ha'ur v'lo chalata b'chomet al beroschin hari akdera kula asura. A liver that was boiled and was not singed over the fire or was not scalded in vinegar or boiling water, the entire dish is forbidden. Hakavet v'chalshin is bashal ima, the liver and anything that was cooked with it. U'mutu litzlos kavet im habasa b'shput echad. V'hu shetiyah hakavet l'mata. It is permissible to roast the liver with meat on one spit, provided the liver is placed below the meat, so that the blood that drips from the liver does not drip onto the meat, but rather into the oven. V'im avar v'tzola l'mayla mibasa hariza ochla. If a person violated and roasted it above the meat, one is permitted to eat it, because we assume that the blood that dripped, because of the roasting, does not become absorbed in the meat, but just slides off the meat. Halacha test, paragraph 9. Tetchol mutar levashlo afilu im habasar she'ein adam ela basar hadam ladam. It is permitted to cook the spleen even together with meat, since it does not consist of blood, but is merely flesh which resembles blood. Hashovam afrekas behema kodem shetetzi nafsha hare adam nivlo beivarim va'aso lechol mimena basar chai v'afilu chalato. Should one break the neck of an animal before its life has left it, the blood becomes absorbed in the organs, and is therefore forbidden to eat the meat raw, even if it is scalded. Elo ketzed yase, but what should the person do? Yachto chachticha v'yimlach yafa yafa v'acharkach yivash lo yitzla. The person should cut a piece, salt it thoroughly, and then boil or roast it. Ukvar v'yarnu shehashochet behem v'chayiv v'ov v'liyotze mehem dam shehem mutarim. We have already explained, and that was earlier in chapter 4, that one who shechts, who slaughters an animal, beast, or fowl, and no blood comes forth, they are nevertheless permitted. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Ein habasa yotz medidamo elim kein molcha yafa yafa umedicha yafa yafa. Meat cannot be rid of its blood unless it is thoroughly salted and thoroughly rinsed. Ketzed osa, what does one do? Medicha habasa tchilo v'achakach molcha yafa yafa umenicha b'milcha kadei hiluch mil v'achakach medicha yafa yafa ad sheyetzu hamayim zakim umashlicha miyad l'toch mayim roschen avlo l'poshrin kadei sheyislabin miyad v'leyetzedam. First of all, the person should rinse the meat and then salt it thoroughly and leave it in the salt for the time it takes to walk a meal, which is between 18 and 24 minutes, depending on different opinions. He should then rinse it well again until the water is entirely clear, and immediately afterwards cast it into boiling, not tepid water, but boiling water, so that it would become bleached and no more blood would emerge from it. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Kishamolchen habasar ein molchen osa ela bekli menukav. Ein molchen ela bemelech ovik ichol hagas, shahamelech dak kemach yibola babasa velo yotzidam. Vitzarech venapitz habasar min hamelech vechakach yidachenu. Now, when one salts meat, a perforated vessel should be used, and salt which is as heavy as coarse sand, for salt which is as fine as flour, would be absorbed in the meat and does not extract the blood. It is also required to shake the salt off the meat before rinsing the meat. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Kol hadvarim ha'elu lebasa shetzarech levashlo. All of the above applies to meat that one wants to boil, one wants to cook. Aval etzali maleach v'tzalim ayat. All you have to do is salt it, and you can roast it immediately. One does not have to leave it in the salt for any duration of time. V'harotz alechel basa chai molcha yafa yafa medicha yafa yafa v'achakach yochel. If one wishes to eat raw meat, he has to salt it thoroughly, and he has to rinse it thoroughly, and then he could eat it. The Ravid, Rambam's critic, disagrees with this and says it is permissible to eat raw meat without salting it because the blood that is absorbed within the limbs is permissible to eat as long as it has not separated. V'im chalata b'chometz mutal la'ochla k'shu chai u'mutal lishas ha'chometz sh'chalata bo sh'ein ha'chometz motzei hadam. If a person scalds meat in vinegar, he may eat the meat raw and may also drink the vinegar in which it was scalded, since vinegar does not extract the blood. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Chometz sh'chalat bo basar lo yachlat bo pam shniya. Vinegar that was used to scald meat should not be used a second time for the same purpose. The reason given is that once it's used once, it loses its effect and it can no longer prevent the blood from leaving, which is the reason why it would be permitted to eat raw meat, even though it has blood in it, because if this blood could not separate from the meat, it is permissible. And that's what the effect of the vinegar is, but not the second time. V'chaticha shehedima b'tocha chometz, hiva ha-chometz asurin ad sheyimlach osa yafa yafa v'yitzla. If a piece of meat becomes reddened while in the vinegar, both the meat and the vinegar are forbidden, unless the meat is thoroughly salted and then roasted. Basa shehedim v'chein beitze behema v'chaya. Beklipa sh'aleihen v'chein ha-orif shebo ha-mizrakim shehem aleim dam, im chatcham u'molachim kadas mutal v'ashlam. V'im lochat cham utzalam bashpud, v'tzala ha'orif u'piv lumata, o shetzalam kulam ala gecholim hara'ilu mutarin. Meat which has become reddened, as well as the testicles of animals and beasts still in their scrotum, and the neck containing the jugular veins, all of which are full of blood, may be cooked only if they are first cut open and properly salted. If a person does not cut them open, but wishes to roast them on a spit, placing the neck with the opening facing downwards, so that the blood can drip out, or if he grills them over the coals, if he chooses to do this, they are permitted. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Rosh habehema shetolahu batan or bekibshan im tolahu ubeishchitas lamata muter shahadam yotze b'shoses v'im hayabes shchita minatzad mocha asur shahadam miskabes l'tocha u'shar habasa sh'al ha'atzamas mebechutz muter. If one roasts the head of an animal in an oven or furnace and hangs it so that the place where the shchita was performed faces downwards, the head is permitted since the blood oozes out. If it is suspended in such a manner that the place of shchita is on a side, the brain is forbidden because in such a case the blood collects in it. Now, insofar as the remainder of the meat is considered, which is on the outer side of the bones, that is permitted. That is, it's permitted to roast it. Heniach chat molamata im heniach bo gemi al kane kadeshi shor pesuach v'yetzer damo der chat mo muter v'im lav mocha aser. If the snout is left suspended downwards, it is permitted, provided that a straw or reed is inserted into it so that there is an opening through which the blood can ooze out. If one does not do so, the brain is forbidden. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Ein menichin kli tachas atzali lekabel meima vachatich lekol mari admum shabo. It is forbidden to place an empty vessel under meat which is being roasted in order to receive the juice which drips from it, until all redness in it has disappeared. Viketet osin, what does one do? Mashlichin l'tocha kli miat melach, u'meniach ha'kli at sh'yitzala, v'lokeach ha'shamnuni sh'omayla, v'hamayim sh'omat sh'tachas ha'shamnunim asura. One does as follows. One should throw a little salt in the vessel, and leave the vessel there until the meat is fully roasted. The fat in the vessel which floats on the surface may then be taken, but the juice underneath it is forbidden. The purpose of using the salt is to drag the blood down to the bottom of the vessel so that the top, the fat on the top, is permissible. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Pasha chatecha leha besar tzli muta la'achla she'ena ela shamnunis. It is permitted to eat bread upon which roast meat had been cut up, since that which the bread has absorbed is merely fat. In other words, there's no blood there, once it had been roasted. Dogim va'ofa shomolcham zem zeh afilu b'klei minukav hadogim asurim shahadog rafe u'balei adam hayotz min ha'of. If fish and birds are salted together, even if this is done in a perforated vessel, the fish is forbidden. And the reason is, it is the flesh of the fish that is soft, and therefore it absorbs the blood which emerges from the birds. It goes without saying that the same would apply to fish salted together with the flesh of animals or beasts, that the fish would be forbidden, because it absorbs the blood. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Ofo shehnicham shleimim umilich halolam basar ubeitzim ubishlam asuros shaharei dam yotze letocham v'yafo pisham molcham yofe yofe v'afilu hoya habasar shebetocham sholuk oitzoloi. Birds that were left whole and were filled with meat and eggs and were then cooked are forbidden. Why is that? Because the blood goes into them. That is, the blood leaves the bird and enters into the meat and eggs, which is its stuffing. And even though, the Rambam says, the bird was salted, nevertheless, it is forbidden. Because the Rambam's view is that even after salting, it is still forbidden because the blood may still emerge, and therefore it has to be scalded. Normally, the cooking process would do the trick, because that causes the meat to become white and the blood can no longer leave it. However, in this case, since it has a stuffing, the scalding process would not be effective here because the water cannot reach the inside of the fowl. However, most authorities disagree with the Rambam in this regard. They hold that salting would suffice to get rid of the blood and there's no longer any fear. Then the Rambam continues, and even if the meat, which is inside, which serves as the stuffing, is already boiled or roasted, it would still not be permissible, because even though the meat inside, the stuffing inside, is already boiled or roasted, nevertheless, it would still prevent the water, the hot water, from getting through to the fowl, even though they had already been softened by the cooking process. V'im tzalon harei l'mutaros. If, however, he roasted the bird, they are permissible. Afal pisha habasa shebetochem chai. Even though the meat inside is raw, because if it ever absorbs anything, while it's being roasted, it spits it all out. And even if the mouth is facing upward, because the fire draws out the blood. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Bnei Me'ayim Shemilam al Derech Zu Bebasar. Tzali Yosholok O Shemilam Bebeitzim Ushlakam Oklam Harelim Mutarim. She'em Achzikin Dam Bnei Me'ayim V'chein Hora HaGaonim. If a person stuffs the intestines in the same manner with roasted or boiled meat, or if he stuffs them with eggs and then boils or roasts them, they are permitted, since the intestines cannot be presumed to retain blood. The Gaonim, that is the post-Talmudic rabbis, have also rendered a decision to the same effect. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Ofo shetfalon bebatzeik, utzlam bein shleimim bein mechutachim, im taflam besolas gasa, afilu hismiko hatifla, ochlas atfelim, vnei shesolas gasa mispareres v'yotzi hadam. V'im tfalam bekemachitim, shalasasan, im haisa hatifla, levanok moha kesef, muta lechel mimena, v'im lav asura. If one covers a bird with dough and roasts them, whether the birds are whole or cut up, we do as follows. If the paste is made with coarse flour, a person may eat of it, even if it turns red, since such flour is crumbly and permits the blood to emerge. If, on the other hand, the paste is made with flour from moistened wheat grain, it is permitted only if it remains as white as silver, otherwise it is forbidden. Tfalam b'sharkmachin, im hadimu asurin, vim lo hadimu mutarim. If the person covered the meat with other kinds of flour, if the paste becomes red, it's forbidden, and if not, it is permitted. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Sakin sheshachet ba'os alachtech baroseich ad shilaben hasakin ba'or o yashchizena b'mashchezes o yinatzena b'karka kosher eser pi'amim. A knife that was used for slaughtering, one may not use to cut anything hot, any hot meat or other hot food, until one takes the knife and brings it to a white heat in the fire, or if it is sharpened on a whetstone, or if it is thrust forcefully into the hard ground 10 times. V'im chatech baroseich muter. If, however, a person does nevertheless cut hot food with it, the food would still be permissible, because the knife that was used for shechita is the area that it slaughters is cold, so the knife really didn't absorb any blood during the process of shechita. Just initially, we are stringent in this regard. But if it was already done, the food is still permissible. V'chein ein chotech batznon. One should not cut radishes or kiyotzba midvarim hacharifim l'chatchila, or anything else that is pungent, at least initially, you shouldn't do so. But if one did so, then it would be permissible. Vim hidiyah hasakin shekincha bikli, muta lachtach batznon ukiyotzebo avalo reseach. However, if one washes the knife or wipes it with a cloth, it is permitted to cut radishes and similar types of food with this knife, but not hot food. Halacha chafalav, paragraph 21, and the final paragraph. Ka'aro shemolach babasar, afilo haisa shua ba'avar, also lechabo reseach li'olam. It is forever forbidden to eat hot food from a vessel in which meat had been salted, even if it is lined with lead, for the blood has already been absorbed by the earthenware. The Rambam is obviously talking about earthenware, which could never be koshered. It could never be koshered. The substance that is absorbed inside will never leave it. And that's why the Rambam says it is forever forbidden. And with this, the Rambam concludes Perek Shishi Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the 6th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods.